Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why do I have a feeling this presentation on ADHD is going to be challenging for those of us who have been told we have ADHD? This is Wretched Radio. Most likely, and I mean statistically, most likely you too have ADHD. Why? The DSM-5, it reigns. Anybody who meets the descriptors of hyperactivity disorder, you are given a label and you are told you probably need medication to help you with your ADHD. Now, this is a drum. No doubt you've heard us banging because of Dr. Greg Giffert's new book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, which you can pre-order still at fortisinstitute.org/lies. Received an email from Rachel. She said she was listening to a fitness podcast and they were talking about ADHD. Now, the name of the podcast is Make Fit Simple. The host, we don't know who she is because we couldn't find her last name, which is a little weird. She just goes by Andrea. Or is it Andrea?
I think it's Andrea. I think.
Andrea.
Well, that's how I say it.
But. So your mother's sister, what is her relationship to you?
She's my aunt.
No, did she live in a little with a bunch of other aunts? And does she scurry around and build a hill?
Thanks, Todd.
There's a U in there for a reason, you know. So Andrea, without a last name, had an ADHD expert, an ADHD coach on her program. And Rachel sent it in going, oh, wow. I heard it. What Greg Giffert has been talking about, it was like, wow, there it is. So whether you have the ADHD or not, this will, I hope, be a helpful exercise for you in recognizing the unscientific nature of all of these diagnoses, not the least of which would be ADHD. Here's the ADHD coach.
So back in the day, they would look at the boy in the classroom who was the poster child for ADHD.
That's pretty specific right there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like in the 1980s. No, back in the day.
So back in the day, they would look at the boy in the classroom who was the poster child for ADHD, bouncing out of his seat, calling out, distracted, was...
Me. When you have so much to say, just sitting there and letting the teacher do all the talking.
Impulsive and outwardly hyperactive. And those boys or girls, but less likely girls, were the ones who got diagnosed in school because the teacher saw it, they proceeded and got the ADHD diagnosis.
Yeah, that is correct. Boys far more so than girls, as she's about to mention. But I would also suggest, I know this is imputing some nefarious intent to these teachers that like to get their kids drugged, but they're harder to manage. The boys are squirrely and they're all over the place and they can be, and they're just a little bit harder to control. And so they get diagnosed more.
Okay. The girls, though, were so much less diagnosed. I think it was 3 times less of a diagnosis because they're.
Jimmy, I think she might be from Canada because.
Her hyperactivity very often was internal. Or their impulsivity was internal. So it was
here's what it means to have internal ADHD.
Psychosomatic.
Wait a second. Psychosomatic? I'm thinking it, but it ain't real. I've now got ADHD.
Me, I had very much lived with anxiety and racing thoughts and comparing myself to other people, rejection sensitivity, all
rejection sensitivity. Yeah, because most of us, we don't mind being rejected. But if you do kind of dislike that, then you've got rejection sensitivity. All clinical language.
These emotional dysregulations that I thought were...
Emotional dysregulations. You're a kid. That's practically the definition of a kid. Emotional dysregulation. That's what it means to be a child. That's why you need to mature and grow up and start thinking better.
Or due to anxiety, but I didn't know it was due to ADHD at the time.
Ah, did you hear that? It's not me. It's my ADHD that caused it.
I'm until 16 years after working with ADHDers. So, yeah, girls and women are learning more about themselves now. And a lot of this mental health awareness started in 2020 when we had more time to just be present and learn about ourselves and learn about our partners and learn about our children. And
well, not only that, but the government locked us down and we couldn't go to a playground and we couldn't go to church and we couldn't go to the market, at least not without a mask. Maybe that was a part of it.
And then from our children, then we learned about ourselves because it's very genetic. So we're seeing an increase in women understanding themselves. And then, of course, getting more diagnoses if it's possible. But in some countries, it takes years to get the diagnosis, the official diagnosis. So it's not that they weren't there the whole time or we're overdiagnosing for the people who are actually having an ADHD diagnosis. It's just that psychosomatic symptoms weren't outwardly being shown.
Jimmy, would you be kind enough? Psychosomatic. I want to make sure I think it means what I think it means.
Okay.
Psychosomatic is imagining something that isn't. That's psychosomatic, I thought. But apparently in this person's world, those psychosomatic things are generated because you've got this mysterious thing called ADHD. Where does that reside? What part of the brain? What chemical is off? Oh, yeah. They don't have any of that testing. They've got none of that. It is merely assessing somebody's behavior. And instead of calling it their personality type, we call it a disease label, ADHD. This is not helpful for our kids.
So for boys, they were displaying it. And for girls, it was often on the inside.
Correct.
So it just wasn't seen. Yeah. And I do feel like that's very classic of women where it's like, hold it in, keep it in, keep it together, girl. And we don't always externally portray what we're feeling, what we're thinking, what we feel.
What does this have to do with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder? That you're practicing discretion. Maybe you do need to reveal your feelings more. But this is now a disease?
Confident about what we feel, insecure about all of it. We just sometimes keep it inside. So that is really, really interesting. And then we know that in recent, I don't know how long ago, but they've kind of now linked everything under one diagnosis now instead of just saying
under one umbrella. So it's, they don't have the ADD diagnosis anymore. So that is now considered ADHD inattentive.
Because more people then qualify.
So the umbrella term is ADHD. Then there's the inattentive, which used to be ADD. And then there's the hyperactive impulsive, which used to be ADHD. And then there's the combined type, which displays symptoms of both. And that's what's in the DSM-5 right now, which is...
My head hurts. Jimmy, psychosomatic.
Psychosomatic disorders result from stress. It may include hyper...
No. I didn't ask what a disorder is. Just like what the word psychosomatic. Definition from Merriam.
Relating to or involving or concerned with bodily symptoms caused by mental or emotional disturbance.
Ah. See, now I always thought that psychosomatic was just something that wasn't real, that's imagined. But even... if I'm right about that, that's now a clinical definition. This is far more of a mental illness. Okay, you think that maybe somebody's talking about you. Well, you've got ADHD because it's a psychosomatic, whatever Jimmy called it. How's about maybe you need to stop worrying about it? The Bible says quit worrying about things like that. Don't fret over things that aren't. The Bible can help with this. Everything is a disease model.
The diagnostic criteria that therapists and medical professionals use. Yeah. But they're moving away from breaking it up because those three categories can really shift over time. So a boy who might have been hyperactive, and I keep saying boy, but it doesn't have to be a boy, right? But the hyperactive child might not be so hyperactive externally when they're older.
You mean... they grow up? No, it must be the medication that helped.
So the symptoms can shift from, you know, category to category.
This is so cruel. This is so unscientific. This is so chasing after. Feathers fluttering. Seeking after this never manageable range of emotions that are being given psychosomatic labels. You learning anything else about being psychosomatic?
No.
Because I imagined you were. Oh, wait, I think I've got ADHD. Please consider getting Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me. He actually spends a fair amount of time with ADHD because his son has almost been diagnosed with it twice. When you hear it, you're just going to go, what is this? Just utterly bonkers that somebody who just struggles in a particular field of study is given a label? Well, that's really one of the great connectors, isn't it? Academic performance and a label. You don't perform well in school. What's the problem? It's not that you're being lazy. It's not that maybe you've got a tumultuous home life. No, it's that you've got ADHD. Why? Sorry. Gotta go sniffing the money source because there is a financial incentive to this lunacy called ADHD. This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Master's University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Master's University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Master's University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Truth. It's meant to travel far. It's meant to reach deep. It's meant to change lives. But for far too long, even the best biblical teaching has faced barriers. Paywalls, price tags, limited access. And at Fortis Institute, well, we've been thinking differently recently. What if we could break through all of those barriers? That's why we're launching our Truth Unhindered initiative. We have extraordinary plans for the end of 2025, plans that will transform how pastors and families and seekers access life-changing teaching. But to make this vision a reality, we need you now more than ever. Right now, going on through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled up to $250,000. Double the impact, double the reach, double the transformation. Visit fortisinstitute.org/truth today, because when truth breaks through barriers, lives are never the same. fortisinstitute.org/truth.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, methinks you might have this backwards. This is Wretched Radio. You went sleuthing on our ADHD coach.
I did.
And what did you discover?
She has a book.
Ooh, what's it called?
Activate Your ADHD Potential.
No, you mean we could actually identify the way that you think and the way that you function and then guide you into a field or into a career or into a setting where you can function at peak performance level? No. Who'd have thought of that? Oh, yeah, Christians. I mean, honestly. So she's labeling everybody with ADHD, basically describing basic life stuff in clinical terms. Hey, are you a mom? And sometimes you just feel really harried because the kids are, getting them into the van is just such a difficult thing. Well, we can help you with your ADHD. What? What? That's just parenting is why everything is clinical and mental illness. And biblical counselors have been saying, how's about we simply identify people's giftings and then guide them in the right path, which means that some kids aren't going to go to university. Some kids are going to go to tech school. Some kids, they might get an apprenticeship. Some kids, they might just go to work. Some kids, fancy this, might just decide, I want to be a mom. And I want to teach my kids to love Jesus. That sounds just ridiculous. How's about that's their desire? That's their gifting. And we point them in that direction. ADHD is all connected to academics. I'm telling, okay, maybe not all, but mostly. Maybe it's a lot of parents. You got yourself a kid who's got tons of energy. That's what we used to call ADHD. Kid's got a lot of energy. That sure does. You feeding that kid sugar? Why are they so amped up, that kid? But because they're a kid. And we used to recognize that and simply work with that. But the education system and some parents who just don't want to discipline their kids and do the hard work of parenting a kid that can be a little bit difficult, which, by the way, is also a gift. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? A kid who's just bouncing off the walls. Why do you have that kid? It's because you need that kid. You wouldn't have that kid if God didn't think you needed that kid. So it would appear if you've got a kid that's just a little bit more of a ping pong than the rest of the kids, then you needed him. You needed her to grow you, to help you become a better you. That's why God gives us difficult children, because you need that kid. Now this, by the way, is such a word of comfort. If you've got a kid that's like that and you've just been pulling your hair out, and maybe you've been getting angry at that child because they're just so hard. God decided, you're the one who needs that kid. I'm going to give you the gift of a kid who's a ping pong ball so that you can grow in patience, loving kindness, forbearance. And it's going to produce a settledness. And you're going to rely on me more. And you're going to understand how patient I am with you, ping pong ball. That's just a different way of looking at kids. And this woman now to say, okay, so we're going to label you clinically and then do the very thing that we're suggesting that we should be doing anyway. And how's about we maybe rethink the whole educational system? I'm not saying maybe most kids can do it. Some of us, we struggled. I could do it now, by the way. So what changed? Was I... You know what, Jimmy? I think it was the lion's mane got rid of my ADHD. Because when I was a kid, sitting in class, it was like, oh, just got to get out of here. I want to do something. And folks, you put me in a class now. Now, here's something interesting, too. Put me in a class of something I dig, and I'm in. If I don't dig it, it's not quite as enjoyable. Can I do it? Yes. But it's not as enjoyable. Would you now label me again with ADHD? You'd go, well, no, you just don't like it. And as an adult, if you don't have to be there, you got options. And so you want to exercise those options. Why would we have to call a kid who doesn't like algebra ADHD? And then to say, well, they got ADHD. So here's what I need to do. I'm going to be your ADHD coach. And I'm going to start pointing you in a direction that avoids algebra so that you can thrive and flourish. That's what we've been saying. And so, Jimmy, I think you got it backwards because you said we should send her Greg's book.
We should.
I think we should get her book and send it to Greg. Watch his head explode. Because what is...
Are
what
you
is,
mad at him?
What's the explanation of what the book is?
She says, throughout this book, you will gain tools and understanding of the inner workings of your own ADHD brain.
So she's going to explain science, is she? I'll bet not, because there is none. The inner workings of your ADHD brain. And her starting point is going to lead to a wrong destination. It has to. Because she doesn't understand we're image bearers. She doesn't understand God's fingerprints are all over each one of us. And this is the way that he's made us. She can't explain the inner workings. She can describe, if you want to call it, personality types. Okay, I prefer giftings. So if you happen to have the gifting of a short attention span, I'll bet that struck you funny, didn't it? Like, well, not like, haha, but like, what? Gifting of a short attention span, that's not a gift. Says who? And the answer is it depends on your authority. If your authority is some ADHD coach, by the way, what's her, can we, maybe she's got some sort of degree. It really doesn't mean much anyway. Yeah, what has she got? Clinical psychology.
Yeah, let me get back to that.
And she's got all kinds of secular therapy on her resume. And it's all about authority. Who gets to determine what is normative and what isn't? This extends beyond emotions. It extends beyond thinking. It also goes into physical. Who says what is beautiful? Now, I grant you, this can be a little tricky because I think we can identify certain types of faces that are just more seemingly pleasing than others because of symmetrics or it's prettier, it's more handsome. And I think we get that. But at the same time, who ultimately determines what should be considered beautiful? And the answer is God. What does God consider beautiful? I just don't see looks as being a part of it. And you know, I read once, I can't recall, it might have been, I can't remember. I think I know who it is, but I'm not sure. Oh, I think it was Randy Alcorn. Now I remember. You know, with the ADHD and all, sometimes I can't remember. I think I need a prescription for that. It was Randy Alcorn who said that if you could bring Adam and Eve into 21st century, I think that they would recoil at the deformity of the human form. And okay, because it's not perhaps the ideal form, but who determines what makes it pleasing or beneficial or better on a level of this is objectively better? And the answer is God does. It depends on your starting point. God is not knocked out by somebody who's a 10 in the looks department. With male or female, he's pleased with everything he makes because he makes it for his good pleasure and for his purposes. He desires things like a gentle spirit. Somebody who is loving him with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's beautiful to God. Those are the things that are pleasing to God. Who determines these nuanced issues? The answer is God does. And so if you're going to an ADHD coach who has all kinds of diplomas from...
Well, she has a master's degree in students with disabilities from New York University,
uh-huh.
A bachelor's in elementary education from Penn State,
uh-huh.
And then she's a professional certified coach, life coach,
uh-huh.
And a board certified life coach.
From whom?
She doesn't say.
Yeah, who's the board and who's the licensor?
Yeah.
And who says that those people know what they're talking about? Authority is the key here. And the encouragement to Christians is to flat out reject the secular therapeutic authority. They don't know what they're talking about. If you, this is a 14-minute clip. Rachel sent this in. It's a 14-minute. You bop your way through it and your eyes are going to cross and you're going to be like, what in the world? What are these people? What did they come up with all of this nonsense? There's so much of what they're describing is just right on the face of it, false and ridiculous and over-exaggerated. Isn't exaggerated already over? But the point is, the authority of these people needs to be rejected. And we need to go to the Bible. Encourage you, pre-order Greg's book, Lies My Therapist Told Me, fortisinstitute.org/lies. Then you just when you're done with that, then erase the lies and put truth so that you can consider possibly helping us with our Truth Unhindered campaign. We desire to give all of our resources away. We're going to be doing that. We're going to be closing the store courtesy of you. If you'll join us on this match giving campaign, it's called Truth Unhindered, so we can close down the store and aggressively give stuff away. We're just going to impose our resources on people for free. Would you help us do that? You can at fortisinstitute.org/truth. This is Wretched Radio.